Agot and Erev Shabbos, everybody. We're back at the beginning, the Ezras Hashem, Shir number 188. And we're going back now. We talked a lot about active Zerizis, and we'll get back to that as well. But this year, we're going back to Rabbi Tversky's Life Too Short, about self-esteem, and to pulling the plug on self-defeating behaviors. And today, we're going to discuss a very important topic, which I'm sure almost everybody here, yours truly included, is familiar with. Is anxiety. Anxiety is another condition that can be caused. It could either be psychological or it could be biochemical factors. And I'm going to say again, I know there are doctors and others that nix it and say there's no such thing as chemical imbalances or biochemical factors and all that stuff, but that is incorrect. That's not true. The raya is that it works and it's not a placebo effect. It's enough evidence to prove that it works. So therefore, in some cases, appropriate medication is often necessary for this biochemical anxiety that's created. I want to make that clear. And it is 1,000% true. 1,000% true. Yeah, people, and again, the people that I have close to me work for doctors. Confidential, so I don't know names or anything like that because it's confidential, HIPAA rules and everything, so I don't know of the people involved, but I was testified that there are many well-known Magidei Shiurim, well-known Rabbeim or Mabitzei Taira that have strong anxiety that cannot do what they do unless they take medication for their anxiety. And they do that and they thrive. And if they don't do it, they don't, because it's a biochemical issue in those cases. Now, you can't diagnose yourself. And there are some doctors that just throw medication at you, just stamazai, you know, loosely. And that's not healthy either. You know, you try to avoid it when you could work around it. But when it's necessary, it's necessary. If you do the proper hishtadlus, siyata d'shmaya, you ask a shayla based on a rav or someone who understands this. So there is truth to the aspect that there's some biochemical anxiety. But for almost all of us here, whether we have that or we don't have that, we create our own anxieties and we have the ability to try to overcome them. Now, there are many anti-anxiety medications Rabbi Tversky talks about, but just like alcohol, sometimes medications relieving anxiety depress the brain so the person is less sensitive. And some medications only last for a few hours. Some become immune to them. Some increase doses to become anxiety to eliminate anxiety. And some of them could be potentially addictive. Some could develop into severe addiction. You know, like you heard of Percocet addiction for pain relief, and then they took it because of an injury, and then they can't get off it, and they become addicted, similar to this. So then you have additional problem. You have an addiction on top of chronic anxiety. So just a word of caution. So even if you are forced to take medication, the non-addictive types that are there are preferable, and one has to be just extremely careful because you don't want another problem to be on top of this anxiety problem. But anxiety is a feeling very similar to fear. But the difference is as follows. When you have healthy, normal fear, that's when there's a threatening situation, a real threatening situation, that you're worried about. For example, a person's worried about a medical condition or may feel threatened by an undesirable diagnosis. That's what fear is, a healthy fear. Anxiety, unhealthy anxiety, is when there's no apparent threat. You always feel that impending doom, heart palpitations, shortness of breath, chest pains, dizziness, and they may be caused with various degrees of intensity. Some are caused by blood medications, decongestions, sometimes caffeine, low blood sugar, thyroid disease. Very severe and sudden anxiety attacks are called panic attacks. And it's believed that some of these are caused by biochemical imbalances, similar to what may cause depression. Anxiety also could be in a low-key form, in a chronic way. And people don't really know exactly the psychological causes of anxiety. It's not so clear. There may be an unconscious threat. For example, they may be aware they're afraid of something and then they can't pinpoint what they're afraid of. Sometimes there's no physical sensation. They just feel haunted, like something bad's going to happen. Now, going back to what we said, though, It's not always the case, but a negative self-image is often a component of anxiety. I'm going to make a disclaimer here also. Not to say that every aspect of anxiety is because you have a low self-image, but there is no question about it that people who have a low self-image have a greater tendency to feel anxious. A person who is secure and self-confident is not likely to feel overwhelmed by the challenges of life. But a person who has feelings of inadequacy, they are understandably are more vulnerable to anxiety. You know, if a man, one described themselves as feeling that they're walking through a minefield, right? Every step is safe, but they have a fear that the next step will be an explosion. So in addition to the increased fear, a person with a negative self-image is also reluctant to seek out help because they feel it's an admission of weakness. I'm vulnerable. I'm a nobody or whatever it is. So he brings a case of a particular attorney called Barbara. She had severe panic attacks, heart palpitations, and the doctor described medication to reduce the frequency and severity of these attacks. But she, Barbara, was left with that pervasive feeling of anxiety, afraid to drive. Her husband drove her everywhere. She felt secure at home and in the office, but in other situations, it intensified her anxiety. So she avoided all other activities and just stayed in her home in her office. She was offered a promotion at work, the promotion would have her entail to go periodically trips out of town. She declined the promotion. She didn't consider it because of her anxiety. And in her case, the anxiety was related to a feeling of inadequacy. Although she had academic excellence, work career excellence, she was competent beyond competent, but her low self-esteem was there, and it was intensified by her inability to function away from the security of her home and the office. And that was a vicious cycle for her. Now, she went into group therapy. He has a couple of chapters about group therapy, which we're not going to get into in detail here, because, you know, it's a hard thing to describe. We're going to just touch upon it. But Rav Tversky is a big proponent of it. But in this case, this group therapy with the other people encouraging her gave her a better sense of herself. And with encouragement and support of the group, she started to go out of her home and out of her office. And she eventually accepted the promotion. And she eventually was able to travel without fear and anxiety. Had another person, a successful financial advisor, used to stutter as a child, avoided speaking before groups, even though he overcame the stuttering problem. But if he speaks before groups, it could reactivate the stuttering. But his new job required him to speak in front of groups. And he tried to prevent his anxiety from provoking the stutter by taking tranquilizers, but that made him more drowsy. So that made it worse. Now, he came from an abusive home. His father was abusive, drunk, and his anxiety was a consequence of his traumatic childhood and low self-esteem. Group therapy, again, helped him. That's the most successful treatment because his vulnerability there and an openness and support, non-judgmental support. And he came to a better self-awareness because of this, and his anticipation of failure decreased, and he was able to successfully speak in front of large groups, and ultimately had a ripple effect in which his business activities and social activities and even family situations improved greatly. So the idea is like this with anxiety. No one knows what the future holds. Life is full of surprises. Sometimes it's pleasant surprises, sometimes it's unpleasant surprises. But people with negative self-image have a greater expectations of feeling that unpleasant things are going to happen. And it's a problem, not just because you're expecting trouble and pain, but because you don't feel competent that you can cope with it. And we have to work on that. People who have low self-esteem, that Hashem gives them the tools to cope with it, even though it's difficult. That confidence alleviates a lot of these symptoms. And then we're not going to go into detail here, but together with anxiety, we're going to talk about alcoholism, other chemical addictions, and no one understands why some people are more prone to develop these addictions than others. There's some genetic component for sure, but genetics alone doesn't account for all these conditions. But one of these conditions, again, he describes, not always, but very often, is negative self-image. And negative self-image is not that you feel inferior after you're addicted and you say, oh, I'm so low because I'm addicted to alcohol or drugs. No, there's a lot of people that have that too. But here is the key. Listen carefully. Virtually all addicted people had a negative self-image prior to becoming involved in the alcohol and drugs. They had the negative self-image way before they fell into the alcohol and drugs or whatever addiction they fell into. That low self-image was there before. So listen carefully. Like one typical person said, a surgeon, now over 30 years sober, said it follows. Listen carefully. I did not take my first drink until I was 17. And I did not start my heavy drinking until I was 26, but I can clearly remember when I was 9 years old feeling that I was different from all the other kids and that they were better than I was. That feeling of inadequacy, inferiority preceded his drinking for many years. So many people who have those addictive personalities and things really evaluate. It's not always the case, but often it's because of a deep, low self-image from prior that they have to work on. And the reason why negative self-image is conducive to addiction is because there's normally a natural resistance to fight that addiction, not to allow it. But when you feel low about yourself, that resistance goes away, like you don't have koyach to fight it. And you doubt your competence to cope with challenges. So, because there's only two possibilities of dealing with any particular challenge. Either you cope or you escape. There's no third option. And ignoring a problem is also escaping. It's a passive way of escaping, but it's still escaping. In some situations, yes, you escape. If you're on a train tracks, you crossed and there's a train barreling down 120 miles per hour, then you don't just stay around and try to cope. You escape. You run. Same thing with a fire or anything like that. You run. You escape. That is where it's healthy to escape. But that's only if your challenge is greater than you, then you escape. But when you're greater than your challenge, then you cope. You sit there and you cope. And many people don't do that. When they have the ability to cope, they have a low self-image, so they think they can't, but they really could. So that's very, very important. You cope. And when the decision to whether you cope or escape depends on how you size yourself up in comparison to the challenge. If you feel the challenge is too great, you'll escape because you'll feel overwhelmed. But in reality, it's not overwhelming. You may feel overwhelmed, but you have the ability to cope. We are much more capable in coping than we think. We are much more capable of coping than we think. We are much more capable of coping than we think, no matter how low you feel. Remember that. That's where you work on your emuna b'tochen and build those muscles. Tranquilizers and all these type of things are escaping because when here's the key, when you feel tense after a day's work, no matter how tense you feel, you don't take over-the-counter tranquilizers or things like that. A normal, even if you had a really difficult day at work, it's a perfectly normal response to feel tense or even very tense. You find other ways to relax. It does not require medication. Or here's an example. They ran a commercial, a manufacturer, about a woman that discovered her sink drain was clogged. And she had to serve a special dinner for her husband's boss. And in desperation, she turned to her friend for help. And that friend, instead of suggesting, call a plumber. This plumber's available right away. He'll fix it in a second. And you'll be able to do what you need to do. No. The friend recommended taking tranquilizers to remove her anxiety. That's the message of addiction. That's the escape. That's the key. So that's very, very important. Very important. You deal with the problem as best as you can deal it with it. Same idea with New Year's Day. They didn't have a plumber. This similar situation. And so they used a different sink and they watched vegetables in another sink. They figured out other ways to do it and they had a great time. So the idea is that when you use medication to relieve average workday tensions, that's not advisable. How do you deal with that tension? You jog. You listen to music. Handiwork, reading a book, relaxation exercises, so on and so on and so on. But to run to alcohol and chemicals or food is a counterproductive aspect that leads to addiction. Medication should be reserved for illnesses, not, and even then be careful to avoid addiction, but not for regular tense situations in regular life. The commercials insult our attention, our intelligence rather. We are capable of coping with clogged drains, with work tensions, other problems. These are normal tensions in life. To tell us to always use chemicals for relief is demeaning. Now, a lot of this is the fourth and fifth step of the 12 steps, which is thoroughly making an inventory of yourself and sharing it with another person. This is simply called cheshbon hanefesh and confiding with the ish neman. So this is based purely on Torah. It's for everybody, not just for addicts, these steps. Accepting guidance from somebody healthy, objective perspective will help you correct these distorted patterns. And that's extremely, extremely important. Bracha v'atzlacha.